Welcome back to the show. It's me, Ross Hemsworth, and we're in the third and final hour of the show with Bart Sibrel, whose website is moonmovie.com, and you really ought to have a look at the DVD. And I've seen it. I'm convinced there's something in it, definitely, and you've got to see it for yourself. Now, he's with me this evening talking about what he believes is a hoax. In 1969, we never went to the moon. It was all a hoax. It was a fake. Now, something I have to ask you, Bart, on this is from my own inquiries, when, as I say, I'd already had doubts about this when before you and I started to speak about it. But there was I saw a lovely piece of footage on another program where they took the background of the guys working on day one and placed it over the background of the guys working on day two on the lunar surface. And lo and behold, they were in a different area of the moon, and yet the backgrounds were a perfect match.
Yeah, they were apparently using pretty small television studios to fake the lunar landscape. And yes, that has been brought out. There's several anomalies, being a filmmaker, that stand out to me. We talked about the shadows that intersect. There's also sometimes in the background where the foreground and the background seem to change color sharply on a horizontal plane, left to right, where the, you know, the real soil ends and the fake backdrop begins.
What about the flag moving in the wind when there's no wind on the lunar surface?
Yeah, we have a clip of that at moonmovie.com where you see like the flag flapping in the wind. It's my theory that they had the air conditioning units removed so that they wouldn't fall over backwards, because they were designed for 1/6 gravity. And so they had these very hot studio lights, which were fairly close. So they probably pumped in a lot of air conditioning. And occasionally it made the flag flutter. Of course, there's no atmosphere on the moon, so it would be impossible for there to be any wind. So that's almost comical. I mean, you can look at it, and it looks like wind to me on the moon. But, you know, I guess you can judge that for yourself.
Okay, I've got a few questions from the forum, from our discussion forum, I'd like to put to you, if I may. The first one is from someone, a poster who calls himself Mad Grebo. Says, I've been dying to ask this question for years. Could it be that they had a set of backup footage ready if the reception on the moon was less than friendly, hence the need for the astronauts to their ways through, ask questions about the moon and what the Earth looked like from the moon? Buzz Aldrin will talk for hours about the flight to and from, but when asked about the actual time on the moon, he clams up tight. Is this fake footage hiding something even more spectacular and sinister than just a fake landing?
Well, you might be aware there's, I guess, what you would call the UFO community, which often consists of intellectuals in the community. Unfortunately, I think this is part of government misinformation. The fact is, they did not go to the moon, and that's just the way that it is. Anything that makes a more elaborate reason for the photographs being fake, like there were alien bases or extraterrestrials or whatever, simply just tries to distract people from the simple reality that they did not go to the moon. They did not have the technology to go to the moon. Surely, if it were so easy to bounce around and drive cars and play golf on the moon in the 60s and early 70s, we would have bases on the moon by now. I mean, I'm sure it would have great strategic value.
Well, definitely. Now, another thing that intrigued me in your DVD was that where they were appearing to walk in slow motion because of the gravity and jumping across the moon's surface, you in fact speeded up that footage, didn't you? And tell the listeners exactly what happened.
What convinced most people were the black and white television images. One thing to consider is, you know, if Gilligan's Island and I Dream a Genie and Bewitched go from black and white to color in 1967, you would think this great technological achievement of going to the moon would be worthy of color pictures. The fact is, they were fake scenes, and they didn't want the definition of the latest cameras. They wanted to use older cameras. The images that people saw were black and white, and they saw the ghostly figures of the astronauts allegedly bouncing around on the moon. It's estimated that the moon has 1/6 the gravity of Earth because it's 1/6 the size. And to tell you the truth, I thought the TV pictures looked fairly convincing. You see kind of the astronauts floating around. Well, having professional video equipment, I decided to just play this at double the speed. And sure enough, they're only getting above the surface of the soil there about an inch or two, exactly the same that they would on Earth. And that, to me, is very strong evidence that the moon landings were fraudulent. If you simply double the speed of the television images, you see that, in fact, they're on Earth, they're not getting off the ground anymore, and that they're using a very simple yet convincing effect of slow motion, and it's right there.
Okay, another question for you from Adam Jay. He says, can you ask him to be clear on what he thinks was technically possible to be achieved at the time, whether it's possible to even get to the moon with an unmanned spacecraft, or whether they could have got there but not back, or if it's just possible to land on the moon at all? Also, what he thinks about the amount of time they spent there versus home, how much oxygen they had available in their spacesuits, as presumably there was none in the lander.
Well, the radiation is probably one of the significant obstacles to going to the moon. First of all, there's the fuel. Von Braun, who designed the rocket, originally said in order to reach the moon, you'd have to have a rocket that weighs 800,000 tons. They ended up using a rocket that was about 4,500 tons. So that's a difference of something like 30,000% that he recanted on his math in a matter of a couple of years. The fact is, you can X-ray a toaster 1,000 times and it'll still make toast. You X-ray a human 1,000 times and you're going to run into severe health problems.
Okay, got one here from Burgess. If I could just throw this one at you. He says, can you ask him how, if the moon landings were fake, they managed to set up the lunar laser ranging experiments?
Well, the same way the Soviets did. The Soviets put laser reflectors on the moon also, and they did that with an unmanned probe. So yes, you can send unmanned probes to the moon. However, you cannot put a human being through all of that radiation and expect them to survive. Again, the Soviet Union has laser reflectors on the moon also, and they put them there without a manned vehicle. One thing to consider, too, in this little lunar module, they allegedly, you know, were competing against 250 degrees Fahrenheit, and according to the astronauts, it was a very pleasant 72 degrees on the inside. Well, in a vacuum of space, there's no way to reject that heat into the molecules of the air, so it's going to be extremely difficult to get that thing, you know, even down to 225 degrees, much less 72 degrees. And the way that they claim to have done this are what is basically car batteries. I mean, you can imagine taking a big American car and going out to the desert, turning off the engine and powering the air conditioner on the car battery, or six car batteries. It's not going to last that long. And for them to claim that they ran air conditioning at 72 degrees when it was 250 outside, for 3 days on batteries, it's just really absurd.
Just a bit. Okay, another one here from a guy who calls himself Agent Smith. He says, can you also ask him if it's impossible for humans to get there due to radiation? If it's impossible for humans to get there due to radiation, how did the Russians send some live animals there prior to the Americans arriving and retrieve them safely, alive and well?
Well, they didn't do that. There's a lot of misinformation, or people are remembering their facts wrong. No, the Soviets never sent any animals to the moon. In fact, since 1972, no country has ever put any animal, a monkey, a fish, a turtle, or anything, beyond Earth orbit. Now, you have to wonder, I mean, come on, that's a third of a century ago, and no country has even put a monkey beyond Earth orbit. So you have to wonder, how could we go to the moon way back then when we can't even send an animal past the belts now?
Yes, I tend to agree. Now, obviously, there's been a massive amount of talk about this. It's been a subject that's rolled on and on for years. But I heard a story a little while ago that China was sending an unmanned craft to the moon that was going to take pictures of the surface of the landing area. Now, sure enough, if this was not fake and it was real, the lander, the flag, those things would be visible, surely, to that unmanned craft, wouldn't they?
Sure, they would. The Japanese did send a probe to the moon to do that very thing 5 years ago. They had five different cameras on there, infrared and optical and a couple other kinds. And as soon as it achieved lunar orbit and could have taken pictures of what would be the vacant landing sites, coincidentally, all five cameras simultaneously malfunctioned. Japanese, they can't make a good camera, right?
That's fair enough. Right, got one here from Nita Grant, just come in by MSN. Says, what kind of lifespan would he expected then if they had gone and suffered the dose of radiation he's talking about?
Well, Von Braun originally calculated that there would be it was Van Allen. He originally calculated that there would be a 50% chance of a fatality traveling through the radiation belt. Von Braun said once, if you could land on the moon, his original calculation was that there are a 50% chance every 24 hours of having a catastrophic failure of the equipment due to micrometeorites. And he said if you could land on the moon, you would immediately have to go into a cave to prevent that from happening. There are so many different, you know, reasons why orbiting the Earth and landing on another world are completely different in difficulty. And so it's not just the radiation, it's the fuel, it's the micrometeorites, it's the technology at the time, it's the, you know, deceptiveness of the government. And, you know, when I really get down to it, it's because of pride. Kennedy set the goal to go to the moon before the end of the 1960s, or before December 31st, 1969. When it became apparent during Johnson's administration that they could not do that, they were going to have to eat crow, as it is said, or be humble. But rather than be humble, obviously they made the choice to fake it. And as time goes on, when we have not been able to go past Earth orbit since then, it becomes clearer and clearer that the moon landings did not take place.
So when did you actually make this DVD about all of this, Bart?
It came out in 2001, after 5 years of painstaking research and gathering and analyzing of the information.
And it's, I mean, to be honest, it's something that I would recommend, and I've got nothing to gain by this financially, but I would recommend that everybody should have a copy of this and make their own mind up. And as you rightly said, there are clips on the website at www.moonmovie.com. But how much is it to buy, this DVD?
I think it is about $40 or $39 and maybe $5 for shipping. What to me stands out about it is, let's say they could go to the moon. Let's say it was technologically possible to land on another world and to plant a flag. You know, that would have a certain level of significance to mankind. But if they couldn't do it, they lied about it, they murdered people to keep it quiet. To me, that's more profound of an event than if they had actually gone. Come to find out, this is true. So here we have one of the greatest events in human history, the faking of the moon landing because of pride, and yet very few people know about it. And I fear that until we can learn from our mistakes, you know, we will not progress as a species.
I tend to agree with you. Okay, let's see what the listeners think about this. It's studio at nettalkradio.co.uk. That's studio at nettalkradio.co.uk. Let's hear your thoughts on it. Do you believe what Bart's saying, or do you have your own thoughts on this? Do you think that, no, there's a rational and logical explanation to all of these points? Get your emails coming in to me now, ross@nettalkradio.co.uk. And when we come back, I'm going to be looking at some of the points. There's 10 points, 10 reasons why we never landed on the moon, on Bart's website. We're going to have a little look at that and see what Bart has to say about that right after these words.
Now that's weird. Do you see ghosts? Voices. Come find out. Join our professional team in a most haunted style paranormal investigation. Enjoy the excitement of the unknown and take part in vigils, seances, and divine exercises. Expect the unexpected. Experience the unexperienced. It's an encounter that will not be forgotten. Visit our website at www.hauntingbreaks.co.uk or phone our friendly team on 01-686-420-301. Beware.
Now that's weird.
Get ready to be spooked. It's Ross Hemsworth talking paranormal on Now That's Weird.
A new and exciting spiritual, environmental, and holistic living festival takes place this March. Come and see who you were in a previous life. Visit the Green Motor Show, or even walk with real live wolves. Around 300 exhibitors, including NetTalk UK Radio, who will be running interviews throughout the show. With over 100 talks and workshops, plus concerts and live entertainment, there should be something for everyone to enjoy. For a brochure and entry tickets for this unique and amazing experience, visit www.spiritualtides.com. That's www.spiritualtides.com. The Spiritual Tides Whole Life Festival. It's an event not to miss in 2006.
Now that's weird.
Ghost Search UK was founded in 2004 by Donna Gearing, who the Daily Star called the Exorcister. As a paranormal investigation company, Ghost Search UK invites paying guests to join them for all-night investigations and experience the thrill of spiritual contact. Ghost Search UK is proud to say it is the only paranormal investigation company to be endorsed by the Society of Metaphysicians. For further information, see our website www.ghostsearchuk.co.uk. Get interactive. Email studio at nettalkradio.co.uk or text 85010. Type the word studio and then your message.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.